This week's CD is going to be on Purim, and as we know, one of the obligations written in the Gemara in regards to Purim is to drink. We are going to start by explaining the origin of this rule, and also we are going to see various opinions in regards to this rule. First, we are going to give the source from the Megillah in chapter 9, verse number 19, writes down, Al kena Yehudim aprozim, therefore, the Jewish villages, Hayoshim Ore Prozis, that live in unwalled cities, Oisines Yomer Bosal Achodesh, Odor, they make the 14th day of the month of Odor, Simcha, a day of gladness, Umishta, and drinking, Veyontev, and holiday, Mishloach Monos Ishlereyu, and to sending delicacies to one another. And afterwards, the idea of Yontev was not accepted according to the Gemara, and then it's written in verse number 22, as the days in which the Jews gained relief from the enemies, and the month that has been transformed from sorrow to gladness, and from mourning, to make those days, a day of drinking and gladness, umishloach monos ish lereyu, and sending delicacies, a man to his fellow, umatono ish levyonim, and gifts to the poor. So we see from the verse clearly that Purim is a day of mishta v'simcha, of drinking and gladness. We are going to go to the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Kuftes, Amad Alev, 109a. There the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis learned, Chayef Adam Lesameach Bonov Uvneveise Beregel, a person is required to make glad his children and his family in the holidays, Shenemar, because it's written in Dvorim, chapter 16, verse number 14, the Samachto Bechagecha, that you should be glad in your holiday, Bema Besamcham, how are you glad in your holiday? The Gemara answers, Bayayin, with wine, meaning by drinking wine, you are glad. The Gemara continues, Rav Yehuda says, Anoshim Beroilohem, Venoshim Beroilohem, the men what's suitable to them, and women with what is suitable to them, Anoshim Beroilohem, the men what's suitable to them, is Bayayin, with wine, Venoshim Bemayin, what is suitable to women. The Gemara says, Bevavol Bevigde Tzivoinim, in Babylonian with colored garments, and Eretz Yisrael with pressed linen garments, meaning that you have to buy new clothing for your wife for the holiday in order for her to be also rejoicing. The Gemara continues, Tanya we learned Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir says, Bizman she Beis HaMikdash Kayom, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, Ein Simcha El Bebasar, there is no gladness only through meat, meaning rejoicing is through meat, Shenemar, because it's written in Dvarim, chapter 27, verse number 7, Zavachto Shlomim, you slaughter Shlomim, Vachalto Shom, and you lead there, Vesamachlu Lifnei Hashem Lokecho, and you rejoice in front of Hashem, so automatically rejoicing is through meat, Vachshav, Shein Beis HaMikdosh Kayom, but now that the Beis HaMikdosh is not standing, Ein Simcha El Bayayin, the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of rejoicing is through drinking wine. Shenemar, Vayayin Nesamach Levav Enosh, because it's written in Psalm 104, verse number 15, that the wine makes the heart of man rejoice. Therefore, Sefer Elokutim that goes on the Rambam in Perek Beis, from Milchus Megillah, Halacha Tezvav, brings in the name of Nemukai Meharai, that from this Gemara we see that according to all opinions, when we drink wine, that is the fulfillment of Simcha when there is no Beis HaMikdash. When the Megillah was written, there was no Beis HaMikdash standing, and then the Megillah tells you that we require to make the holiday of Purim a day of Mishta v'Simcha, a day of drinking and Simcha, and since Simcha automatically means drinking wine, then Mishta means that you have to drink extra wine, because if you have to drink only normal amounts of wine, then the word Simcha would have been enough. But from the fact that it's written, Yimei Mishta v'Simcha, that you have to drink, and you also have to drink more wine, so therefore we know that in Purim you have to drink more wine. And the same idea is brought down in Sefer Pe'er Eitz Chaim, that since this is called Yimei Mishta v'Simcha, obviously then there's a mitzvah of mishteh itself, therefore you're required to drink extra wine. I wanted to add to this idea that since it says yemei mishteh v'simcha, since it says a days of drinking and rejoicing, which normally rejoicing means that you're supposed to have a meal, in this meal you drink, but here, in regards to Purim, when we make the meal of Purim, we require to drink before the meal and after the meal. And I wanted to bring a proof from what is written in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph 34a. There the Gemara is discussing the blowings of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says that every time there is a teruah, where there is the broken sound of the shofar, you require to have a tekiya, a long solid sound before the broken sound, and also after the broken sound, you require to have a tekiya, a solid straight sound. And the Gemara says, how do I know that you require to have a tekiya before, a solid sound before the broken sounds of the shofar, and a tekiya after, and a solid sound after the broken sound of the shofar, meaning that normally it should be sounded as tekiya, teruah, tekiya, solid, broken, and solid. The Gemara brings a verse in Bamidbar, chapter 10, verse number 4, it says, utekatem teruah, normally translated that you should blow a teruah, but since it's written the word tekatem, then we learn that it has to be a tekiya, has to be a solid sound before a teruah, before the broken sound. The Gemara asks a question, so now I know that you're required to have a solid sound before the broken sound, meaning you're required to have tekiya, teruah, but how do I know that after the teruah it comes a tekiya? How do I know after the broken sound comes another solid sound? The Gemara brings a proof from the end of the same verse in Bamidbar chapter 10, verse number 6, where it says, teruah yitku, that a broken sound you should blow. So therefore we learn that after the broken sound, you require to have a tekiya, you require to have a solid sound. So therefore we learn that you require to have a tekiya, teruah, tekiya, that a straight sound first, then a broken sound, and then a straight sound. Meaning that since it's written first the verse, tekatem, and then teruah, and then the end of verse written teruah yitko, from here we learn that the teruah has to be between two tekiyas. Based on this, I could say that since here on Purim, in verse number 19, it's written that you should make the day yemei simcha v'mishta, day of happiness and drinking, and then in verse number 22, it's reversed, and it says lasoy zoysom, to make them yemei mishta v'simcha, a day of drinking and simcha. Therefore, it seems to be that simcha has to be in the middle, and between both, meaning before the simcha has to be a drink, and after the simcha has to be a drink. Therefore, I wanted to say that in Purim, you're required to drink before the meal, because it's written first the mishta and then simcha. And since simcha is also considered with wine, then you're required to drink during the meal. And since it's written also that you should make simcha and mishta, that means that you have to also have a drink after the meal. Now we go to the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Zayin Amud Beis, 7b, where there the Gemara brings the name of Rava, Michayev Inish Libsuma Bepiria. A person is required to become intoxicated in Purim, Ad Deloyada, until he does not know the difference, Ben Arur Haman, between cursed be Haman, Levaruch Mordechai, to blessed be Mordechai. That means, in the simple interpretation, that a person is required to drink so much that he can't tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. We are going to try to give different interpretations of the meaning of this saying. Then the Gemara continues and tells an interesting story. The Gemara says that Rabbe and Rab Zera of the Sudas Purim Bat Adode, Rabbe and Rab Zera made a feast of Purim together. Ifsem, they became drunk. Kam Rabbe, Rabbe got up, shachtei le Rav Zera, and he slaughtered Rav Zera. The simple interpretation is that Rabbe got so drunk that he killed Rav Zera. Le Machor, in the next day, boye rachme, he prayed to Hashem, v'achye, and he was able to revive Rav Zera. Le Shana, the next year, Omar Lei, Rabbe tells Rav Zera, neisemav nevesudas purim ba'adada, come and let us make a feast of Purim together. Amalei, Rab Zera tells Rabbe, That not at every moment a miracle happens. Meaning, last year a miracle happened that you are able to revive me, but we're not sure that this miracle is going to happen. The Rif in Masechtas Megillah Dav Gimel Amud Beis brings the idea of Rav exactly like his language, but it doesn't bring the story of Rabba and Rab Zeira. Meaning, it doesn't tell the story what happened afterwards that Rabba got drunk and killed Rab Zeira. The Rambam in Perik Beis of Hilchas Megillah Halacha Tezvav brings down Keitzat Choivas Sudazu, how you're supposed to make the meal of Purim, Sheyoichal Basar, that he should eat meat, Vitakan Sudanoe, and he should prepare a beautiful meal, Kefi Ashatim Sayadoi, how much that he could afford, Veshoy Seyain, and drinks wine, At Sheishtaker, until he gets drunk, Veyirdam, and he should fall asleep, Beshakrus, through his drunkenness. Meaning that the Rambam interprets the idea, At Deloyada, until he doesn't know that a person actually gets drunk from his wine, and therefore he falls to sleep. And when he sleeps, he doesn't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, that curse be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. It is important to know that according to the language of the Rambam, it seems like it's obligation of the meal to drink wine, and there is no mitzvah to drink wine after the meal. But from Shalos and Tshuva, the story of Tshuva, Chere Gimel Tov Tzadik Alev, and he brings that since it's written in the Magen Avraham in Tov Reish Tzadik Hei Sifkot Ntes that Sheivorech Beker Zamazen Koidum Sheishtaker, that a person should do the blessing after the meals before he gets drunk, that implies that you require to get drunk even after you do the blessing after the meal. Therefore, he brings that you actually have an obligation to drink even after the meal. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch Arachaim, Ilchas Megillah, Simen Tov Reish Tzadik Hei, 495, Siv Beis writes exactly like the language of Rava. He says, Chayv on Inish, Livsume Bepiria, a person required to be drunk on Purim, Ad Deloyada, until he doesn't know the difference Benaru Hamol Levaruch Mordechai, between curse be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. And then the Remo adds and says, Vayesh Omrim, and some say, the Ein Tzor L'Gishtaker Kol Kach, that you don't have to be so drunk, Elu She'ishte Yoisem L'Midoi, that he should drink more than he is used to, Vayashen, and then he'll fall asleep, Imitach She'yashen, and since he is asleep, Ein Yodeya, Bein Arur Haman, Levaruch Mordechai. He does know the difference between curse be Haman and blessed be Mordechai, and he continues, Ve'echad amarbe, ve'echad amamit, doesn't make a difference who drinks too much or somebody who drinks little, uvilvat she'chav libel ha'shamayim, the most important thing that he has it in mind for Hashem's sake. But Mefarshim explained that since the Rama says ve'yesh omrim de'in tzorech l'shtaker kol kach, that some say that you're not required to be as drunk, that means the Mechaber, when Mechaber wrote down that a person is required to drink on Purim until he doesn't know, it literally means that is supposed to drink so much that he doesn't know. The Gaon Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin explains also that the idea that a person should get drunk in Purim was not innovated by Rava, because clearly this was already a takana that was done from previous generations, because right after the story of Rava, the Gemara brings a story that Rava and Rab Zeira had a drink together and they drank so much that Rava killed Rab Zeira. And clearly, Rabba is before Rava. Therefore, we see clearly that this was already an ancient minhag, an ancient custom, an ancient takana. And Reb Shuya Lab Diskin from Brisk in his Sefer HaHolim on Masechtas Megillah brings down that this came already Meraboisenu Anshe Knesset HaGedoyla, from our rabbis, from the Great Assembly, Sheinigu Bekerev Israel, that they established it, that the Jewish people should drink. A detractor of this opinion that we should drink on Purim is brought down by Rabbeinu Zrache Balamor in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, that he writes down that since the Gemara brings a story of Rabbi Rab Zeira, where we see that Rabbi was so drunk that he killed Rab Zeira, from here we know clearly that the halacha is not like Rava. Meaning, the Bach explains that since we know that Rabbi Rab Zeira came before Rava, but yet the Gemara writes the story of Rav Abzera after Rav writes his idea down, that means that the Gemara wants to refute the idea of Rav, that a person is obligated to drink until he doesn't know, and the Gemara brings the story of Rav Abzera to teach you that it's not proper to act this way, because not every day a miracle could happen, meaning that Rav and Rav Abzera were having a meal together and they got drunk and Rav killed Rav Abzera and the next morning revived them. And then the next year he wanted to make the same party again. Rav Abzera says that I'm not joining you in the party because not every day a miracle happens. So therefore we learn from here that we're not supposed to drink. And the fact that Rav Asher put the story of Rav and Rav Abzera after the story of Rav, that is to tell you that the halacha is not like Rav. Therefore, the Bach writes down that a person should not drink on Purim. And the Ram brings this the halacha, and the Shvila Leket also brings this the halacha. But it's important to note that even though the Bach brings Rabbeinu Ephraim, that Rabbeinu Ephraim says that the halacha is not like Rav, that you're not supposed to be as drunk that you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, nonetheless, the Bach says that Rabbeinu Ephraim agrees that you're required to be a little bit more drunk than usual, meaning that you're required to drink more wine than you usually drink. Theoretically, Rabbeinu Ephraim's proof that the Gemara brings the story of Rabbi Rabzera and then Rabbi killed Rabzera, and Rabzera says that I won't have a meal with you because not every day a miracle happens, and that is what Rabbi Ephraim uses to say that the halacha is not like Rav. Mefarshim say that from this story we see quite opposite, that the halacha is actually like Rav. First, we see from that story that even though Rav is the one who said the halacha, but nonetheless, Rav and Rav Zera, which were before Rav, already had the custom of drinking. And second, from the story we see that even though Rav killed Rav Zera because he drank too much, still he felt an obligation the next year to drink also the same and to have the same meal. It did not cause him to refrain from drinking. We would have thought that if something happened like that one time, then he would have refrained from drinking the second year, then shouldn't be a problem to Rav Zera. Nonetheless, we see, number one, that Rav did not refrain from drinking the next year. And second, Rav Zera says that I'm not joining you for a meal. But that doesn't mean that Rav Zera would not make a meal by himself and get drunk himself. All he said is that I'm not joining you for a meal because you may kill me and not every day a miracle happens. But doesn't mean that Rav Zera did not make a meal for himself where he got drunk by himself, where he has no chance to kill, or he doesn't say that Rav refrained from making the meal. And as Rabbeinu Avraham Rav Yitzchok Ravorna writes down in Sefer Eshkol, that if it would be true that you could make a meal and not drink, then Rav Zera should have told Rav, yes, I agree if make a meal with you, but in the condition that we do not drink. Since he didn't say that, that means that clearly it is a mitzvah to drink, and therefore each one will make the meal separate, because together they may come to danger. The Chasam Sofer in his Tshuvas, Norachaim Siman Kaf Pei Hei, brings this proof from Rabbeinu Ephraim, and he brings an interesting idea to contradict this proof, meaning that he brings the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kaf Nun Vav Omed Aleph 156a, where there the Gemara says that the stars influence how a person behaves, meaning that Rav Chanina says that depending on the time of the day that a person is born, his characteristic will be that way, meaning that since every hour a different star rules, and therefore depending which hour of the day you were born, then that star will form your character. Clearly, according to the Gemara, we end up saying a Mazal Yisrael, and a person is able to overcome that character through prayer and through good deeds. But the Gemara says that whatever hour of the day you were born, that influences your character. And the Gemara goes on to explain under which planet a person is born, what character is going to have. And then the Gemara says, Hai man de bemadim, that somebody who is born under the red planet, which is Mars, Yehigaver Oshidoma, will be a person that likes blood, that spills blood. The Gemara continues, Omar Ravasha, Ravasha says that since that planet is going to influence you, that Iumana, either the person should become a bloodletter, Oiganava, or is going to become a thief, where he's going to spill blood that way, Itabacha, or he should become a butcher, Imoyal, or he should become a moyel, therefore he'll spill blood. Meaning that since he's going to be influenced by the planet Mars, which is the red planet, which is supposed to symbolize blood, therefore, when a person is born under that planet, he should channel the characteristic to good things. He should become a doctor, or become a butcher, or become a moyel, because if he doesn't channel it for the good things, then he'll use it for bad things, that he's going to be a thief. The Gemara says, Omar Rabbe, Rabbe says, Ana b'da'amadam avar, I was born under the planet Mars, and nothing happened to me. So Omar Abaya, Abaya says, Mar Name, you also punished, you punished the cattle and you killed. Sefer Ora Yosher explains that Abaya meant to say two things. One, that you give rulings when somebody transgresses your rulings, you punish them. So therefore it's tantamount of you spilling blood. And also, you killed somebody. Meaning, he's referring to this story where Rabbi killed Rabbi Zera. So you see that you also became a murderer. And the characteristic of Madim, that you're born under the planet Mars, that caused you to become a murderer. According to this, the Chasam Sofer says, then that we can't bring a proof from what happened to Rabbi Rabbi Zera, because what happened to Rabbi Rabbi Zera is something out of the ordinary. Because since Rabbi was predestined to commit violence, and predestined because of him being born on the planet Mars, therefore he committed the violence. But any other person normally would not commit the violence. Therefore, there is no proof from what the Gemara brings down, Rabbi Rabbi Zera, because that is an isolated case where Rabbi had the characteristic of being a murderer because he was born under the red planet. Therefore, he happened to kill Rabbi Zera. But normal people, even when they get very drunk, you don't have to be afraid that they will kill each other. Another proof that a person is supposed to be drunk is brought down by the brother-in-law of the Sosemes. In his Sefer Sifse Tzadik, he brings down that the Sosemes had once a question in regards to the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudalet Amud Alef 14a. There the Gemara brings down, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, Arbao Shmoina Nevi'im, 48 prophets, Vesheva Nevi'ois, and 7 prophetesses, Nisnabu Lohem L'Israel, prophesied to the Jewish people, Veloi Pichsu, Veloi Yisiru Al Masha Kosev B'Torah, and they did not detract or add to that which is written in the Torah, Chus V'Mikra Megillah, besides the reading of the Megillah. Meaning simply, that they added the reading of the Megillah. But the Sfasemes asks that theoretically this statement seems to have a problem in it. Because the statement does not say that these 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses didn't add anything in the Torah just reading the Megillah. It actually says they did not detract or add only reading of Megillah, which implies that reading of the Megillah somehow is a detraction of what is written in the Torah. And he asks, where do you see that there is a detraction by reading of Megillah? Therefore, Sefer Sifse Tzadik explains, what the Gemara means to say is in regards to the mitzvah of Purim, meaning that they added to the mitzvahs that you're supposed to read the Megillah, meaning all the prophets never added anything, but they added that you're supposed to read the Megillah, and they detracted something that was always viewed badly, something that the Torah always abhorred, that somebody should get drunk, and here on Purim you require to get drunk, therefore this is something that they diminished, that they detracted from the Torah. So according to Sefer Sifse Tzadik, this is actually a source for the idea that you're supposed to get drunk on Purim. As we mentioned earlier, the main source that we have to be drunk on Purim is the idea of Rava. Rava says, Michayev Adam Lipsimu Bepuria, a person is required to drink on Purim, at the Loyada, until he doesn't know the difference between Arur Haman, between Curse Be Haman, Le Baruch Mordechai, and blessed be Mordechai. And the simple interpretation is that a person really has to be very drunk in order to get to this level, meaning that only if you get in such a high level of drunkenness, then you make a mistake between curse be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. And as a matter of fact, this is actually the idea that Rav Chaim Vital brings in the name of Arizal, that a person should be so drunk that he will actually say, Baruch Haman, blessed be Haman. Meaning that you have to be totally, totally drunk. And he says that this is close to be Leshakrusei Shelot, to the drunkenness of Lot. Since he mentions the idea of being close to the drunkenness of Lot, I remember something that I saw from Rabbi Avram Cheskuni in his Sefer Shtei Yodois, where he asks a question, since we are saying now that this takana of drinking came already from the Anshei Knesset HaGedoyla, why is it that only Rava, which is one of the late Amoraim, is the one that writes this halacha in the Gemara? Why isn't this halacha written by somebody else? And Sefer Shtei Yodois says that if you're going to notice, there is another Gemara where Rava discusses also about the wine. Meaning that the Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuf Zayin Omed Beis 107b there says that you have to eat the matzah letiyavon, that Erev Pesach in the afternoon, you're not supposed to eat a meal because we want you to eat the matzah by the Seder night letiyavon with appetite. The Gemara there says that Rava Avashos Echamre, Rava used to drink wine, Kule Mala Yom de Pesach, the whole day of Erev Pesach, Kiyecha the Nigre Alibe, like that it'll pull his heart, the Nechel Matzah Tfeil Arte, like that he'll eat more matzah at night. Meaning that Rava used to drink a lot of wine on Erev Pesach in order for his heart to be drawn to food, like that he'll be able to eat more food. Because Rava held that Chamre Migre Gorer, that wines open up your appetite, like that he will be able to eat more matzah on Pesach night. And therefore, Erev Pesach, he drank a lot of wine. Sefer Shayyadah says that we see that two halachas in regards to wine was specifically written by Rava. One, our halacha, that we have to drink wine on Purim until he doesn't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And the other halacha that Rava says that drinking wine opens your appetite, therefore, before you have to eat a meal of mitzvah, like the night of Pesach, when you have to eat matzahs, you should drink wine before in order to open up your appetite. And Sefer Shtei Yodois explains that this is specifically so because of what the Arizal brings down in his Sefer Pri Eitz Chaim. The Arizal says that the reason why Lot, the nephew of Avraham Avinu, was saved from captivity by the Battle of the Kings in Bereishis chapter 14, and also the reason why Lot was saved from the destruction of Sodom in Bereishis chapter 19, is in the merit of Rava, and Rava's neshama was dependent on Lot's survival. And he brings a proof to this idea from what is written in Bereishis chapter 14, verse number 12, where the kings captured Sodom. There it's written, Vayikhu es loitos rechushoi, they took Lot and his wealth, Ben Achi Avram, the son of the brother of Avram, Vayelechu, and they went, Vu Yoishev Bizdoim, and Lot was then residing in Sodom. They note that the words rechushoi ben Achiv, they took the wealth, the son of the brother of Avram, the initials of Rechusho is Reish, Ben is Beis, Achi is Aleph, that makes the word Rava, so there it's alluded that the soul of Rava was involved in the saving of Lot, and therefore Tarizal says Lot was saved because Rava was destined to come out of him. According to this, Sefer Shtei Yodois says that the Pasuk in Bereishis chapter 19, verse number 32, writes down that the reason that Lot was able to procreate is because wine was found in the cave where he hid with his daughters, and the daughters decided to get him drunk and procreate with him. Comes out that because of the wine that made Lot drunk, which came from a bad source, that caused the neshama of Rava to survive. Therefore, Rava wanted to rectify this idea that the wine came from a bad source, and he wanted to make this wine coming from a good source. Therefore, he specifically was looking for halachas in regards to wine in order to cause a rectification for the wine. That not always when you drink wine is bad, but when you do wine, l'sha mitzvah, as when you drink wine of Purim that you're supposed to drink in order to commemorate the miracle, or you drink wine Erev Pesach, where you want to open up your appetite in order to be able to eat more matzah at night, where then it is a ratification for the wine, and therefore Rav specifically looked for mitzvahs of the wine, and therefore specifically Rav innovates the halachas in regards to the wine. But going back to the topic that we're discussing, what does it mean ad de lo yada until he doesn't know ben arer hamon lebarach mordechai? Tosfos brings the Yerushalmi that it is not this small nusach that you can't remember. You shouldn't be able to remember the longer nusach that continues Aruro Zeresh Brucha Esther, that Zeresh, the wife of Haman, should be cursed, Esther should be blessed, Arurim Kol Areshoim, cursed should be all the evil people, Bruchim Kol Yehudim, all the Jews should be blessed. And then the Ram adds that you also should remember the Gam Harvoina Zachul Atoiv, that also Harvona should be remembered for the good. Meaning, according to Tosfos and the Yerushalmi and the Ran, the amount of drunkenness that Rav specifies does not have to be so great that you can't remember the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. The amount of drunkenness is fulfilled by you not remembering this whole statement that Arur Haman, Baruch Mordechai, Arur Zeresh, Brucha Esther, Arurim Kol Reshoim, Brucha Kol Tzadikim, Gam Charvoina Zochul Atoiv, if you can't remember this whole statement, that is already considered enough drunk to fulfill the edict of Rava. Meaning that a person has to drink until he doesn't know this whole long statement. So therefore, you don't require to have that much drinking. The Darkei Moshe brings that there was a minhag, that they have a piyut, that they have a poem, where the poem ended each stanza with Arur Haman and the next stanza with Baruch Mordechai. And he says that when Rava says that you have to drink until you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, it means to say that until you don't know the whole poem, where the poem says Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, and this was a long poem, that means that you cannot be drunk almost at all, because by you being drunk a little bit, you already forget that poem. So therefore, the measure of drunkenness, according to the Darkei Moshe, is much less. The Maril brings down a Sefer Agoda that what a person should not know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai is the gematria of Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Meaning that the numerical value of the words Arur Haman, cursed be Haman, is 502. And this is exactly the numerical value of the words Baruch Mordechai, that Mordechai should be blessed, which is also 502. And he means to say that a person should drink up to the point where he can't calculate anymore the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, which means that a person has to keep track of this adding and these numerical values. And if he can't do it anymore, he already fulfilled the decree of Rava, and therefore a person shouldn't drink more than that. The Chasam Sofer in his Droshes to Purim, Tov Kuf Nun Beis, writes that he wrote something Al Yedei Halotz HaBetzachos, meaning just for the happiness of the day, and he says that the numerical value of Arur Haman, as we mentioned, is 502, and this is also the numerical value of the word Shever, of the world breaking, which is a Shin Veis Reish, which is also 502, and this is the same numerical value as Baruch Mordechai, as blessed with Mordechai, which is also the word Sever, but instead of a Shin, it is a Sin. And the difference between the Shin and the Sin is only where the Dot is placed. Therefore, he says that if a person is so drunk that he can't tell the difference between where the Dot is placed, between Shever and Sever, then you're not supposed to drink anymore. Meaning that when you're talking about Haman, you have Shever, you're breaking, because you want the evil people to be broken, as it's written in the words in Yeshaya chapter 1, verse number 28, Shever Pashim v'chatoim yachdov, that the sinners and the purposeful sinners will be broken together, and that is cursed be Haman. But Mordechai is severed with a sin with the left side, as it's written in Tehillim chapter 146, verse number 5, Sivroi al Hashem Elokav, that the hope is to Hashem. So Mordechai is with a sin, because Mordechai is hoping for Hashem, and Haman is with a shin, because we want to break the evildoers. So a person who doesn't know the difference between where the dat is placed, from the shin or the sin, that is considered drunk enough to fulfill the obligation of Rava. I saw once a different interpretation, almost like the Chasam Sofer, but exactly the opposite of what the Chasam Sofer says, brought down in Sefer Alufa Yehuda, where Sefer Alufa Yehuda goes on what the verse brings down in Esther chapter 2, verse number 5, where there it says, Ish Yehudi Yoya B'Shushan Abira, a Jewish man from Shushan Abira, Ushmoy Mordechai, Ben Yoir, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, and his name was Mordechai, the son of Yoir, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish, Ish Yemini, a person from Binyamin. That is the normal interpretation. And the Gemara in Megillah Daf, Yud Beis Amud Beis 12b, argues if his father was from Binyamin and his mother from Yehuda, and the families of Yehuda and Binyamin are arguing with each other because it's written Ish Yehudi from Yehuda, then it's written in the end Ish Yemini, a person from Binyamin. But Sefer Alufa Yehuda brings a total different interpretation on the word Ish Yemini, and he says that Ish Yemini could be translated a person who was able to bring it to the right side. And he explains it based on the verse that is written in the Megillah in chapter 9, verse number 1, where there the verse says that in the 12th month of the month of Adar, in the 13th day of that month, when the word of the king and his decree came to be done, by Yoim Asher Sibru Oyvei Ayhudim Lishad Vohem, in the day that the enemies of the Jewish people expected, hoped to gain the upper hand over them, and V'nahapoichu, it was turned around, Asher Ishletu Ayhudim Heima Besoneim, that the Jewish people ruled over the enemies. But nonetheless, we see there that it's written the word Sibru, that they wanted to gain the upper hand. So we see that the word Sever is written there, the word of hope is written there, but that is the hope of our enemies to gain over us. So Mordechai was able to change that Sever, that hope, to a Shever, to a break. Meaning that the day Asher Shibru Oyvei Yehudim, the day that the enemies of the Jewish people were broken, Lishrat Bohem, that we could rule over them. Mordechai, through his prayer and through his deeds, was able to change from Sever, from what the nations of the world hoped to gain on us, to Shever, to the nations of the world being broken on us. And the difference between Sever and Shever is only where the dot on top of the shin is, because if it's on the left side, it's a sin, and if it's on the right side, it's a shin. According to this Sefer, Alufa Yehuda says that Mordechai was called Ish Yemini, a person from the right side, because he was able to change the dat from Sever, from the hope that the nations of the world try to destroy us, to Shever, to us breaking the nations of the world. According to this Sefer Alufa Yehuda, and according to what we mentioned before from the Chasam Sofer, that the numerical value of Or Haman is 502, and that is the same numerical value as the word Shever or Sever, we could say now that it means to say that a person should drink so much until he doesn't know the difference between Or Haman, between the Sever, between what Haman wanted to do, that he wanted to destroy the Jewish people by giving hope that the nations of the world will rule over the Jewish people, and Baruch Mordechai, and blessed be Mordechai, which is also the numerical value Shever, which is also 502, which is what Mordechai did by changing the sin of hope of the nation of the world to Shever, to breaking the nations of the world. And according to this, it means the same idea of the Chasam Sofer previously, that if a person doesn't know the difference between the dot on the left side and the dot on the right side from the word hoping and the word breaking, then he has already fulfilled the obligation of Rava and he's already drunk enough. There is another interpretation based on the Divrei Yoel, where Divrei Yoel explains that there is two ways to make the world a better place. We could either destroy evil, or we could raise our good deeds. Meaning that if you destroy evil, automatically the good people overpower, then automatically the world's a better place. Or you could increase your own goodness, like that the world is going to be a better place. In the story of Purim, both things happened. Hashem could have just destroyed Haman without making Mordechai greater, or Hashem could have just made Mordechai greater without destroying Haman, and automatically the decree would have been abolished. But Hashem did both. Hashem destroyed Haman, meaning destroyed evil, and Hashem also increased Mordechai, increased greatness, increased mitzvahs. Therefore, we could say that this is what it means, that a person should drink so much that he doesn't know what is better. It is better, Aror Haman, to destroy evilness, like that the world's going to be a better place by destroying evilness, or it is better to increase the bracha, increase goodness, like that the world's going to be a better place. If you drink so much that you don't know the difference between Aror Haman and Baruch Mordechai, then automatically you already fulfilled the obligation of Rava. I want to conclude and say that the Divrei Yoel clearly says in Parshas Nitzavim that a person should always choose to increase his mitzvahs rather than destroy evilness. And the most important thing that we should learn from this shiur is what the Rama brings down. Ve'echod amarbe, ve'echod amamit. That does make a difference if you drink a lot and you drink a little. The most important thing is that you should lechaven libo l'shamayim. You should have it in mind that you're doing it because Hashem commanded us to do. And therefore, if we continue to do our mitzvahs the way Hashem commanded to do, and we rejoice in this Purim, then we'll merit to have the Geula Shalema, the full redemption. We'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.